online. There you go, brother. It's all yours.
Well, it's good to be here this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'll just say, it didn't sound like you guys were excited to be here. I said it's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, it's a privilege to be here this morning. Listen, let me say that again. You're not dead. You're not burning in hell if you're not saved. It's a privilege to be here this morning. It's been a privilege to be here the last few days. I mean, the Lord's been in the service. And if you haven't gotten nothing, then you haven't prepared for it.
That's right.
How many of you prepared your hearts for youth week? Oh, we looked forward to it. It's going to be a wonderful time. It's going to be a great time of getting together in fellowship. And what about if you're lost today?
Yeah. Come on.
Have you prepared your heart for what the Lord may want to show you? Is there some things? Hey, listen, Christian, you're not out of the water here. Did you prepare your heart for this week just to come in here and fellowship and have fun? Or is there something that is in your life that God has been trying to show you but you want to ignore? I've been coming to Youth Week since it started, and it's a blessing. But I know this, just like Paul in Acts chapter 28, verse 3, as he shook off that viper, people shake off the conviction every year. They shake it off. They leave here and they shake off that conviction. You know why? Because they can't face that pain. They can't face that thing that God is trying to show them. And I'm telling you here today, stop shaking that viper off. Stop walking out these church doors and that thing that God has dealt with you with, take it with you. It'll change your life. It'll change your life, and He'll give you something that you've been searching for all these years. The problem is you keep trying to blow that candle out. Proverbs 20:27 says, God put a spirit inside every man, and that spirit is a candle. And what's it do? It lights the inward parts of the belly. Right. He's trying to get into the deep recess of who you are and what you are and those things that you have learned to put away. He's trying to light those things up. But you know what you're doing? Blowing it out. Revelation chapter 19 says that one day He'll stop lighting that candle inside of you. That bride will stop speaking inside of you. You just keep pushing it. You just keep pushing it. For you. For the people who don't know me, my name is Dale Moore. You may not want to know me after today, but that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Amen.
Liberty Behind Bars Ministry is a ministry the Lord gave me. I grew up in a pretty rough home. My mother was very abusive. Her boyfriends were abusive. I was molested by a man for many years. I was molested by a woman for many years. And that put a lot of hatred and bitterness inside of me. And I went out there and I hurt others. Why? Because that gave me my comfort. Yeah. Most people may not go out and hurt other people, but let me tell you something. They take it out on God. You may not go out there and beat somebody up. You may not go out there and live the life that I did. But I'm telling you right now, because of your past, you're out there beating up God. You're rejecting what He's trying to show you, and you have a hatred towards Him that you will not surrender to. You have a bitterness towards God that you will not let go. You see, hatred and bitterness was my friends.
Right.
They were always there. I carried them with me. They were everything. They protected me. They taught me how to sear that conscience. They taught me how to shut off that natural affection that a person is supposed to have towards another human being. You wonder why things are going on the way they are today? It's because they put that conscience away. They've allowed it to be seared, and it's taken away that love and natural affection a human being has one to another. I have people walk up to me all the time. They say, how do those people in jail and prison do that kind of stuff? Because they have lost that natural affection. They have shut that conscience off. That can walk up to somebody and cap them in the head. Stab them, kill them. Feed them dope that's going to kill them. Abort babies. That same hatred and bitterness that drove me drives them. My friend, there's people in this room who did not outwardly live what I live, but inwardly are living the same life that I live. You just think because you grew up with some character, you think that you grew up doing the right things, that you're okay, and you are not okay.
Right.
Amen. Mike, we were just brave enough to live it, my friend. We were brave enough to go out there and live it physically. But there's many sitting in these church pews this morning, sadly, who are living it inside and just won't deal with it.
Amen.
It's a reality. I sat there where John Mark's sitting right there for 4 years. 4 years lost. Telling everybody I was being diligent. Hey, Pastor, why won't God save me? And people always saying, Dale, why won't you get saved? What is wrong with you? Is there something wrong with you? Yeah, there was something wrong with me. But there's not a person on the planet that was ever going to show me that God had to show me. And you know what? I would tell people, I'm being diligent. Why won't he reward me for that? That's what it says in the Bible. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you know, I'm being diligent. Why won't you save me, Lord? And I'm writing all, I got all these study notes. And I even wrote some college courses on different books. And I'm a lost person. And I'm studying. And inside I'm telling God, you can't make me go to church. Who are you to tell me I have to read this Bible? Who is this preacher sending me a text telling me I got to be in the house of God? Who is he? That's my diligence. Let me just tell you this, my friend. Your diligence and God's diligence are night and day.
Amen.
I'm being diligent, Dale, are you?
That's for sure. Come on.
If you're being diligent, God will reward you exactly for what you want, what you need. He did that. It's a promise in the Word of God.
Right.
All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful promise, and he will do that. But how can you call on whom you don't believe?
Right.
It doesn't stop there. I'm going to get to the message here in a minute, but look, I came to a place where I finally held up a Bible. I said, God, I don't believe this like I thought I did. You know what that did, Brother Mike? And wipe that slate for me and God to be able to work. Now he can finally deal with me. He can finally deal with me after sitting there for 3 years. By the last year, I remember the last year of being absolute torture on me. But I couldn't shake off that viper anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to face it. I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I don't know, I'm not sure how much more of this I can take. He said, you face it. You stop running to the psych medicines.
Yeah.
Stop running out there for the drugs and alcohol. You face that thing head on. It was painful. You ever see a woman in childbirth? It's painful. But afterwards, they forget that. The Bible talks about that with salvation. Let me just tell you, man, it was painful for me and my wife to go through it. But you know what? Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for almost 8.5 years ago. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and changing my life. Listen, he didn't leave me the same old person that I was. He didn't leave me that person who was out there full of hatred and bitterness. He didn't leave me that person who sat there with a seared conscience and lost all natural affection towards a human being. Hey, man, when it gets to the point where you can kill your own children, when it gets to the point that you can abandon your own children and your own family, there's problems out there. But you know what? They don't want to see it. Nobody wants to face it. But it's in your heart. Heart, my friend.
Yeah.
Out there started hurting people because it gave me relief for the hurt that I faced. And then because of that, I started burying that conscience with drugs and alcohol. Lived in a very violent gang. I was high up in a gang. I was what they call first. I was a shot caller. I had power in that thing. And I remember the first time, maybe my second time, sitting underneath the preaching of Pastor Lou Godano from Old Time Baptist Church, and he preached a King James Bible that blew my wig off of my head. I could not believe what I was sitting there hearing. That thing started unraveling that seared conscience. And it scared me. Scared me so much so that I run back to the psych doctor and say, I think I'm losing my mind. I really think I'm going crazy. And thank God a few years after I got out of prison, a man walked into my life who I did not ask. John Haskins walked into my house. He walked up to my door and I did not want him. I said, we got Jesus, we're good, you can just keep it moving. They didn't believe that for a minute. I told him I was saved. I did. I was crying, I got a beer in my hand, smoking, told him how much I was saved. See what a wife be done.
Yeah.
Not Jesus, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to just tell you this, man. A profession will put you in hell. You hang on to that thing. You go ahead and hang on to that profession. Hey Amy, how'd that profession do for you?
A lot deep, man.
Profession is not Jesus. Jesus Christ is salvation, not a profession.
Amen.
Not a date. Okay, we can remember a date. But let me tell you this. When did it start changing your life? You ever read James 2:19 where it says the devils believe and fear and they tremble?
Yeah.
Does it change their life? Does that belief change their life? There's people who are sitting in this room today who have the same belief as the devils. It's not changed your life. Let me just tell you something. If you believe what this Bible says, like you say you do, it's going to be life-changing. Because let me just tell you this. Belief in your Bible demands an action. Something must take place. Why? You have the Holy Ghost of God inside of you, and it's not going to leave you that way.
Amen.
Why would I go and serve somebody who's going to leave me the same person I've always been?
That's right.
What is that? What kind of deliverance is that? Maybe I walk up to people all the time. I ask them this. Well, tell me what salvation is, please. Will you please let me know what you need to be saved from? Their answer is always the same. Well, it's because I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. You know why? Nobody's brought them underneath the law.
Yeah.
They brought them underneath a prayer. They brought them underneath the Romans road, which cannot show them why they really need to be saved. They have no clue what salvation. Go ahead. Go ask somebody, what is salvation?
Right.
What did you need to be saved from? What is it exactly that you needed to be saved from? I had no clue. When the Holy Ghost of God started challenging me in that pew, I had zero clue. Zero clue. And then God started working in my heart. And He showed me. And I thank God. Let me say this. Before I even got saved, while I was in prison, I had about 2 years before I hit the gate, sitting underneath the preaching, just tearing me out of the frame. I said, I can't do this. I have to make a choice, Brother Harvey. Either I'm going to continue to go to this and hear that preaching, or I'm quitting that game. You just, listen, you don't just walk away from games, okay? But I said, I can't give this up. As an unsaved person, this was doing something to me, and I wanted what I had. I just had no way to get there. I didn't know. My mother never brought me to church. I never stepped foot in a Catholic church. I had no clue where the Bible was, nothing. But I'm hearing about this Jesus Christ. Sitting underneath that preacher tore me up, and I finally said, that's it, I'm going. I'm going to go tell my brothers. And by the way, I have dealt with some of my brothers in the game out here in this world. I don't hide. I'm out there. They look me up. They can find me. And I have dealt with a couple of them, trying to get them to come to the Lord, trying to work with them and help them and deal with that. I just want you to know that I have dealt with them since I've been out. I don't go out and tell everybody that, but I have. Okay? I walked up to them and I said, listen, we're out in the yard. I said, I don't know how to say this. I said, but I've been sitting in church and I've been hearing the Bible. I said, I can't do this anymore. I want to be done. They just looked at me like a deer that's looking in the headlights. And they said, come back next month. The leader. The leader's telling me this. I come back a month. I'm sleeping with my eyes open. I got my shoes tied. I have no clue what they're going to do. I'm ready for them to come. When a person says they want out of that thing, man, they're coming after you. They want you now, right? So I'm sleeping with taking showers with my back against the wall, waiting for them to come. They never come. 30 days comes. I go out in the yard. And they said, so tell me, you still want to get out of this? I said, I still want out of this thing. I took a little King James pocket Bible. I put it in here in my pocket. I have no reason why. I have no clue why I did it. But I knew that Bible that started touching me. And it meant something to me. For the first time, something really meant something to me. Because I had nothing else in my entire life. At this point, I have nothing. Zero. But that Bible, man, it meant something to me. And I took that thing and I stuck it in my pocket. I said, here we go. I got my bed rolled up. I got all my stuff put on a pile on my bed because I know they're going to put me in the hospital. They're going to try to kill me. You know what that is about. I walk out there and they said, all right, tell us. So I tell them, and they said, how do you get out of this thing? I said, I know you're going to stab me up. You're going to cut me, whatever. I said, I'm willing to do that. Whatever it takes, you go ahead and give me a colostomy bag and all that kind of stuff. That's what they aim to do. And I said, I'm ready for that. And I really was. I was ready for it. And as I stood there and I looked that man in his face, he said, there is another way. I said, what? He said, religion. I said, I'll take it. I had no clue what that meant. I had no clue what that was going to bring. I just said, I'll take it. I'll take it. And for the next 2 years, they put somebody on me. And they watched every move because they thought I was infiltrating. They didn't know what I was going to do. And he just told me this. He said, we find you and you're infiltrating. We'll kill you. You go ahead and have them put their finger on their face and they'll tell you. They'll kill you. You know what that's like, Brother Harvey. They'll kill you. They wouldn't have thought twice about killing you. I had 6 months left to the door before I went home. And they came up to me and they said, you'll always be a brother in our heart. We which are no longer part of us. And I came out and things very quickly. Now I held on to a profession, right? I ended up making a profession while I was in there. I'm sitting underneath the preaching, but I always knew there was an emptiness. I could never fill that void.
That's right.
I didn't understand it. You need to know, I did not understand it until God sent a man my way to teach me that there was something missing. He didn't try to lead me through another prayer. He didn't try to give me Romans road. He didn't try to convince me of this or that. He just sat there and he became faithful in the preaching the word of God. And he showed me, listen, Romans 8:29 says that we are to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And I finally seen Jesus Christ in somebody, and I wanted what that man had. I desired what he had, and it kept me coming back because I wanted out of that life. I wanted what he had. How could he stand there in front of my face and tell me that no matter if I hit him or not, it was not going to change my love for him? How could he do that? How could he put a credit card in my hand and tell me, you go ahead, if you steal that money, it's God's money? What is that? I've never seen that in a religious worker before. What does this man have? But I want what he has.
Hey.
After I tell him to leave my house or get out or whatever, I'd sit on the edge of the bed. I'd look at my wife. I said, I want what that man has. Christians, how many times do you have people knocking on your door saying they want what you have?
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to get into the verse here, but this is going to lead into it. Because if they're not seeing Jesus Christ in us, they're not seeing nothing. It's all for nothing.
Amen.
That's right.
He preached that word faithfully. He said things to me that, quite frankly, probably nobody. He said things to me that I needed to hear. He challenged my manhood. We think that we know what manhood is, right? And he would challenge that. He would just call me a godless wimp. Right to my, I mean, you're a godless wimp. You know? What do you mean I'm a godless wimp? Then I'd look at my wife and go, he's right. But he would preach that Bible, and he would preach it. But then there came a time, listen, this can go either way. I want you to turn with me real quick to Daniel chapter 1. I want to show you something. You want to learn some good Christian character? Anyway, I ended up getting saved almost 9 years ago, October of 8, 9 years. I got saved, born again, have not been the same since. Okay, so it's a whole different life. It's a whole different person than I am today. And I thank God for it. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy to me when I did not deserve it. But look what it says here in Daniel chapter 1. If you're all there, please read with me. You don't have to read out loud, but look what it says here in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Brother Tim, could you just pray for me real quick?
Father, I want to thank you.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Lord, thank you that you made him a man of God.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, thank you for your mercy. I want to thank you for the love that you showed not only to he, but to us to be in this place this morning. I pray for absolute liberty. I pray for the freedom that only the Spirit of God can
give. Yes, give us that.
I pray for an unction to say the things that need said. Lord, loosen his mind in Christ. Lord, loosen his tongue for Christ. For the glory of God, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. So look at what it says here. He said he purposed in his heart. You want to know why you're lost in this room today? There's no purpose. When did you purpose in your heart that all you wanted was salvation? When did you purpose in your heart that you cannot live another day without Jesus Christ? Remember those days, Amy, that we were afraid to eat because we thought we were going to choke and go to hell? We were afraid to get in the car? That's right. That's a reality. But you know, we purposed in our heart that we really wanted what Jesus Christ had to offer. You see here, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the things of this world. You're sitting there telling me that you want to be saved, but yet you're dipping into the things of the world. They don't mix.
Right.
It's not going to happen until God can show you that. Listen, you have to purpose in your heart not to defile yourself with the things of the world. Here, Daniel, it's only about food and wine. That's what you say, well, that's just a small thing. Oh, no, 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 no. Because the desire in Daniel's heart was more for the things of God than the things of this world. Let me just tell you this. If you have a desire for the things of this world, you won't get saved. You need to purpose in your heart. You need to determine in your heart. You need to make an intentional decision that this is it. I need what Jesus Christ has, or otherwise, my friend, you're going to stay out there and be the same person that you've always been. You're going to stay that same seeker. You're going to be that same one who comes up year after year, blowing your snot and your boogers all over an altar, and leave here and never, ever be touched by it. Never be saved. Watch it all the time. Conviction. Me and Brother Vernon were talking about today. How many times we watch people come under heavy conviction. 5 minutes after they walk out the door, it's gone.
Yeah.
Do you know the danger in playing that?
Yeah, come on.
There's a danger in playing that. You're going to continue to harden your neck, and it's going to suddenly come with destruction and without remedy. There'll be no remedy for it. You'll go out there, man. Who knows, you'll go out there and get hit by a car. Who knows, you'll go out there and just drop dead in the driveway. Do you know that? You play Russian roulette with your soul, and you're okay with it. Since when did it become okay to play Russian roulette with your soul? How many of you would hold a gun to your head right now? So you're more afraid of a gun than you are burning in hell for eternity. But yet you'll play that every single day. Why? You want purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart, you're not going to defile yourself with the things of this world. Purpose in your heart that Jesus Christ is all that you want. I understand you have to work. I understand you got to go out there and do those things. But you know what it says? We can live amongst this world, but we don't have to be like the world. You keep dabbling in things and wonder why you can't get saved. Or Christian, you wonder why God don't move in your life. You know why? Because you haven't purposed in your heart to be like Daniel. You want to live half in and half out. Look at, because Daniel purposed in his heart. I want you to look at verse 9 to hear and see what it says here. Verse 9 says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. You know what that man seen? He's seen a purpose in Daniel's heart. He's seen that no matter what comes my way, no matter what I have to face, I am not going to defile myself with the things of this world. I don't care what the devil brings. I don't care what this world brings. I purposed in my heart. I determined in my heart. I made an intentional decision that the things of this world mean nothing to me, but Jesus Christ will mean everything to me.
Amen.
I didn't understand love. I didn't understand this whole thing. Everything that I learned in jail and prison, God had to undo all that nonsense and garbage. And he had to show me. And you know what? God has been trying to show a few of you for many years, but you know what you do? You blow that candle out, you refuse to purpose in your heart. Because of this purposing, because Daniel determined, because his intentional decision not to defile themselves, God blessed them. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, it says, thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and he gave them pulse. And you know, the thing is, we've become too comfortable in our life. We don't want to give things up.
Right.
They're going to get pulse now. Pulse is disgusting. Doesn't that sound horrible? That's what you're going to eat? But Daniel, you know what they weren't worried about? They wanted that pulse over anything the world had to offer. People today, you're too worried about giving up your worldly stuff. The things of God have taken second place. God's not always going to sit down and take second place in your life. He will start removing things. When are you going to be happy with God as your inheritance? You know, that's what the children of Israel, most of them were given lands and different properties and stuff. But God said, you priest, I am your inheritance.
Right.
I challenge myself with this question just about every day. Man, would you be happy with God as your inheritance and Him alone? What if God started stripping stuff out of my life? Would I be happy with just Him? You see, Daniel was happy with pulse. He was going to be okay with pulse because the things of God meant more to him than anything the world could ever offer. And look what it says here. Let's continue on. And it says, and God gave them knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and all dreams. Now at the end of the days, the king had said he should bring them in, and that the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in his realm. You ever watch a man of God there and go, man, how did he get that? Because he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the things of the world. He purposed in his heart to be sanctified. He purposed in his heart when he was young and got saved to go ahead and grab this spear and to carry it on. He purposed in his heart that no matter what, he was going to get to this, and the things of God meant more to him than anything on this planet.
Right.
People are lost in this church today, and the things of God are not what's in the forefront of their heart. It's not what's in their mind. They'll just walk around every day, all day, okay with their lost state.
Yeah.
Brother, I remember it. I remember me and my wife will sit here in tears, and we'll remember the time that God brought us to the place where it no longer was comfortable to be lost.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Man, it drove us crazy.
That's right.
I said, I'm going to go crazy or get saved. One of the two's happening.
Hey.
Something, I can't do this anymore. I'm not kidding you, man. It drove me out the wall, off the wall, I mean. But you know what? We had the purpose in our heart that that's what we really wanted.
Yeah.
We had to make that determination. Is this the life that I really want? Why do you want this life? You ask a person, why do you really want this life? They'll mention nothing about God and everything about what they want to be delivered from. Do you know this life entails serving Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Coming to church, reading the Bible, learning how to tithe, living a life out there that people, you're different now. People can notice that's what the Word of God talks about. When those things, when it abounds in you, everybody can see it. Everybody can see it. They notice. You don't have to go out there and tell somebody you're a Christian and see it.
Right.
They hear it in your talk. One of my first jobs, Pastor knows, I worked at McDonald's. And McDonald's, hey, listen. I went from being a person who started in the crew cleaning bathrooms. Disgusting, nasty toilets. And things in them bathrooms, man, drive a person crazy. But within a year, I was a second assistant manager who could take $10,000 in cash and bring it to the bank and never once think about stealing it.
Amen.
That's what I did, Mike. I did armed robberies, man. I like to steal things. I called my wife crying on the phone. I said, you're never going to believe what they did. She goes, well, I said, they gave me money. $10,000 to bring to the bank that I never thought about stealing. Amen. And I was crying there on the phone.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Hey, listen. God changed it. You're singing that song about America. Please forgive me, veterans. I mean no disrespect to a veteran in here at all. But I hated America. I would defile the flag. I would spit on it. I did that. But you know, after I got saved, you know what happened, Brother Mike? God changed me in that.
Amen.
Now I walk up to every veteran and I shake their hand. You ask my family, they watch me run across the parking lot. Where is he going? I see a veteran hat. That's what he's doing. I go over there and I shake their hand. They're singing songs about America. I got my hand and I got tears crying. I'm crying. Why? Because God changes everything. He doesn't want to just not make you a drug addict anymore. He changes all of that. He teaches you how to talk. He teaches you how to dress. He teaches you how to do everything. It's a life-changing experience. And if you have not had that experience, it's because you don't have the same God that I have.
Amen.
Imagine serving a God that leaves you the same person you've always been. What do you need that for? You know who that is? You.
Yeah.
It's yourself.
Yeah.
You've already been serving him for all these years. Purpose in your heart that that's not what you want anymore.
Amen.
My goodness. There's a better life on this side.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the best addiction you could ever have.
Yeah.
People say, well, don't you still have to go to AA and NA? Listen, when I got saved, I didn't stay in recovery. I got recovered. ED. It's over with. I don't struggle with addiction anymore. And that's why God can send me into the dope house today. That's why God can send me around that stuff. Those very things that once were a trap to me are no longer a trap to me. Why? Because Jesus Christ came in and said, we're going to kick that out and it's not going to be anymore. I'll bring you to that place where you hate it. And once you hate it, I don't have to worry about you going back to it. And thank God for it, Brother Mike, right?
Yeah.
Guess what? He's sending me back to a city. God brought me out of a city into a wilderness to get saved, teaching me, showing me, giving me things. I mean, putting me through things, Mike, that I would have never went through. Hey, how about this, Mike, while we're in jail, prison, somebody spits at you. What you going to do to them, Mike? How about if they invite you to their private parts? What you going to do to them, Mike? How about if somebody touches your foot with a broom or a mop? Throw something at you. It's a wrap. It's a fight. We're stabbing somebody. We're trying to take somebody's life from them. Guess what happened to me at McDonald's? I kid you not. I'd come home to my wife crying. Because in my own life, I would have torn out the frame. But as a Christian, I could not do that. I could no longer do that, Brother Rob Williams. That hurt. But you know what? I had purpose. I had made a determination in my heart that I was going to live for God. Yeah. You know what ended up happening out of that? A few weeks after that, you know, Lauren. Lauren, this girl's got more tattoos than I do on my entire body. She came up to me and she said this. She said, there's something different about you. I said, yeah. She goes, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, I never had to say a word about that. You know why? Because she's seen how I've done things by the book.
Yeah.
You worked underneath me. You did them by how McDonald's wanted them done. But you know what? That wasn't a lesson that I just learned. It just came automatic from me. You know, God had to bring me through something. You know what it was? I remember cleaning, and I remember just cutting a little corner. I said, I can leave that till another time. And I knew there was people watching me. I said, oh, no, we're going to go clean that right now. And I went back, and I cleaned that, and I did it all over again. You know why? Because I expected my employees to do the same thing. Right. How about God doing that, bringing a bum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off the street, an addict, to being a second assistant manager and being able to work a job. I sat underneath, man, what's his brother's name from California? From Doug Fisher. Preached on why men should work after I got saved. I've been working ever since.
Woo, it ain't much, but hey, I work when I can, right?
Why, the conviction? I was purposed in my heart, Brother Mike, that I wanted the life for me and my family. Are we perfect? No, we make many mistakes, but you know what? We can get together, hold hands, pray, and get back up and keep it moving.
Yeah.
That's what God does. What a wonderful God. If he could take somebody like me who lived it outwardly, he could take somebody like you who lives it inwardly.
That's
what he wants to do. I just want to share one more verse with you, then I'm going to close it up. I lost my little pen here, babe. It's okay. We'll leave it. And turn with me to Ezra, chapter 7. We see Daniel purposed in his heart to live a life and those things of God. Let me just say, you go back and you read, and because of that purposing in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, if you read Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, it says, Then he said unto me, God said unto him, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. In Daniel chapter 10, God kept, he seen the heart of Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, in verse 8, when he purposed in his heart. And now in Daniel chapter 10, God said, I'm coming for those words. Because you've done it, I'm going to honor it.
Amen.
Because you purpose in your heart, God will honor it. Either that, he's nothing but a liar. That's your choice to believe. Look at, I'm going to read two things. The things were more important to Daniel. The things of God were more important than the things of this world. The book of Daniel is a good example of those who have purpose in their heart over all else. He wanted the things of God no matter what came his way. And when the devil tempted Daniel with the goods of the world in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel purposed in his heart not to take it. When the devil attacked through music in Daniel chapter 3 to get all the people to bow down to a false god, Daniel purposed in his heart not to do so. When the devil attacked his prayer life in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel purposed in his heart not to stop praying and serving his God. Instead, the Bible says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word, my friend, our life as Christians, when we purpose in our heart to go out there and live the way God would have us to live, should change the world. The world should not be changing you.
Amen.
Today, Christians are being changed by the world. We should be out there changing the world. Hey, right. Because Daniel purposed in his heart, he changed the king's words.
That's right.
Come on.
Because he purposed in his heart, my friends. And Daniel went through more than you ever will face.
Yes, sir.
Here's my last verse. Ezra chapter 7. Verse 10. I just want you to see here what it says. Daniel purposed in his heart. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And to do it. And to teach Israel the statutes and judgment."
Amen.
You made purpose in your heart. But my friend, you have to prepare your heart to receive the word of God. How many prayed this morning, "God, would you show me something?"
Come on.
How many lost people got up this morning and decided, "I'm not going to sleep in. Lord, I need to get saved. And I ask that you prepare my heart to hear what is going to be preached. I pray that you prepare my heart to see," listen, "that they accept the things of the laws of God and to do them." Oh. You know, Romans chapter 12 says it takes the mercies of God to be able to live this Christian life. But if you don't have God, you don't have His mercy to live this life. Have you purpose and prepared your heart this week? Hey, listen, if you haven't, you're sitting in this pew alive, breathing right now. That means you have an opportunity. Go to God after these services. Go to Him and get alone and say, "Lord, I want a purpose in my heart to serve you. I want you to prepare my heart to hear the word, but then I want to have the power to do it. I want you to change my life because you are what I need. You are what's going to change me. You are what's going to get me through these things. You are going to be my deliverer." Because the Bible demands, if I can hold up this Bible right now, Brother Tim and Brother Cliff, I say, how many of you believe that Bible? And they'll all say they do, but they're lost. You can't believe this Bible and be lost.
That's right. You're right.
One quick thing and I'm done. I got my Bible in my arm. I'm going to walk away. The word "believe" is in your Bible 187 times. It's in the New Testament 117 times, if I'm correct. 85 of those times in the book of John. Throughout your entire Bible, it's talking about believing in God and believing for salvation. Psalm 78 verse 22 says, "Because they believed not in God, they trusted not for salvation."
Amen.
You have to believe before you can trust God.
Amen.
God knew that in this century, in this time, that people would not trust Him for salvation. Because trust has been so crushed. Trust has been so stomped on. Those people that told me they loved me, Mike, they hurt me more than anybody else. Now you want me to trust Jesus Christ for a Savior? Trust what? But if God. Belief. We're not born with belief, my friends. Belief comes from an outside source, according to your Bible. What is that outside source that teaches a person to believe? The Holy Ghost of God and the Bible. John 14, 26 said He'll teach us all things.
Right.
What's that mean? He's going to teach us to believe unto salvation. You go look in your Bible. I will give you $100 right now if you can find anywhere where it tells you to trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. Then you can give me $100 because you're going to find everywhere where it says believe unto salvation. Every single time.
Right.
Maybe today. Maybe today you just need to come to God and say, "I don't believe like I thought I did. I don't believe this Bible like I thought I once said." Hey, if you grew up in church, if you've been around, it's okay to be lost. It's okay for you to come to that realization that I am lost and have God start showing you from an outside source. I can't teach you to believe. That's what happened with Peter. Peter and Jesus are walking down the street. Jesus Christ said, "Who do you say I am?" He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He says, "Flesh and blood hath not shown that unto thee."
That's right.
But my Father. The foolishness of preaching is going to show you. It's going to teach you how to believe. That's what God promises. What a wonderful promise. That He'll save those who believe. Would you believe today?
I'm done. Thank you.
Leave that, Amy, leave that right there. Boy, Brother Cliff, tell him I'm going to do something I've never done before. You know how I get up and I speak impromptu. Would you pray for my impromptuness? How's that?
Father, thank you for, God, what's about to take place. Lord God, the best we know how, we give Brother John unto you as we fill him, God. And God, please give his mouth the words that need to be said for this moment. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dale, stand up a moment if you would. If you ever saw an x-ray of Dale's back, there's more metal in there than the Eiffel Tower. I mean, it's just all over. Screws and everything else. He's got two things. Number one, as a prisoner, he used to bench press 600 pounds. Okay? Number two, he's got degenerative discs all up and down through him. There's times this man can't even lay in a bed. Okay? Times he has to sleep in chairs, get just right, even get sleep. Okay? You want to know what it's like to struggle with addictions to pain pills and things of that sort? Find relief in Jesus Christ and sometimes cry and your wife massaging your back because the pain is beyond anything. Okay? They found victory in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so you're going to believe it.
Did it get rid of the pain? No. Didn't get rid of the pain.
Nope.
Learn to live with it.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said this. He talked about each man being given the measure, okay? The measure of faith. The measure. It used to bother me that I wasn't a George Mueller. I couldn't pray money in. And I can't pray money in. I just don't. I'm not really good at it. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I mean, I've got some people now I've learned to pray money in. I'm pretty sure it's not my prayer, okay? It just doesn't work well for me. Bothered me when I hear about people like Brother Lester Roloff or Doug Fisher that are fasting and 30 days at a time and such, all right? I've learned to fast well in between meals except for snacks. Right? And I probably won't put it out. Sam's giving me the signal, put the mic on. No, impromptu, you don't put it out. But the thing is, if God put you in the ministry, God gave you a measure of faith.
Amen.
He gave you something that is so dear to you, you won't surrender it for nothing. Nothing. It's yours. God only gave me a couple things. Number one, this is the King James Bible.
Yes, thank you.
Amen.
Yes, thank you. Okay?
Now, today, the average fundamentalist, his King James Bible is like his three-piece suit.
Right, sir.
Part of his deal, you know, part of show what I am.
That's right.
Right. It's King James Bible.
Yeah.
As edited by Cambridge. Okay? A lot of different King James Bibles out there now. A lot of different editing that's been done over the years. Say, how do you know? Ask my wife what it's like when her husband goes three times to Manhattan to sit in the New American Bible Society and sit down in their cellars and go over 400 years of King James Bibles and collate them together and shut the mouths of the people that say it's been changed, all right? Shut the mouths of the people that say it's been changed. Shut the mouths of the people that say it's been changed.
Yes.
Come on to me if you want to know what's been changed.
Okay? That's right, yes, sir.
A lot of printing errors went into a King James Bible. A lot of men work to get rid of them. What I have in my hand here is exactly what God the Father has on a pulpit. Exactly. Every word.
Yes, sir.
Every capitalization.
Yes, sir.
Every verse marking.
Yes.
Every italics.
Yes,
it is what he has.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And if Jesus Christ walked through that door and said no, but in Luke chapter 19, this word should be a little different. I tell him to go to hell, you're not
Jesus.
Yes. Go to hell, you're not Jesus.
Right.
Okay? This
right.
is the word
yes,
of God.
Yes.
This has birthed nations.
Yes, sir.
This has wrought revival that's never been seen on the earth like what's going on with this.
Yes,
okay?
Yes,
it's the word of God.
Yeah.
And I made up my mind that I'd go amongst the people and I would preach this book to them,
yes,
and I'd teach them what this book is.
Yes,
you know something? I don't go witness to people about Jesus Christ. I witness to them there's a Bible.
Yeah.
I do. And they all got excited when I told you there really was a Bible. And they started crawling to this church. There's a Bible.
Yeah.
We can find out what God's doing.
Yes.
Okay? Then shall I be known even as I, then shall I know him even as he knows me. How does God know me? He searches you through the Bible. He searches
you. Yes,
okay?
Yes, sir.
And you know what? I turn it around on him and I search him out. Alright? He looks at the deep things of my heart. I look at the deep things of his heart.
Yeah.
You know what I found? I found him to be pure. I found him to be holy.
Yeah.
I found him to be love. I found him to be grace. I found him to be goodness.
Yes, thank you.
I found him to be severe.
Yeah.
Yes. I found him to be faithful.
Amen.
And if you found Jesus any other way other than this Bible, I'd ditch what you have.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes, help us, Lord.
Like the old boxer says, you can't lose with the stuff I use.
Yeah.
All right? Can't lose with the stuff I use. All right?
Yeah.
King James Bible. Number two, I never tell a person they're saved.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I never tell a person they're lost.
Yes, sir.
I tell them what salvation is.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. And I don't care what they profess. I don't care what they swore to.
Amen.
I don't care what they do. Amen. Jesus Christ saves sinners in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I think we've pretty well saturated this crowd. If anybody doesn't have a copy of Who Moved the Goalposts, we got hundreds of them. Okay? You think you can distribute them? Take some with you. Okay? What do I mean by that? Well, it talks about men that came to David when he was out in the cave. And the men of Issachar came. You know what it said of them? They were men who had understanding of the times.
Yeah.
When before in Israel was it right to walk out on an anointed king? When before was it right in Israel to walk away from the tabernacle? When before was it right in Israel to go out into the wilderness with a man? They had understanding of the times.
Amen.
Okay? They had understanding. Let me tell you something. I love to hear the salvation testimonies of some of the old warriors of God. It's 1950 anymore. It's 1960 anymore.
Oh, right.
This is not, for those of you that are proper, 1970.
Come on.
It's not 1980.
Yeah.
It's not 1990.
Amen.
It's not the year 2000.
Amen.
It's not the year 2010. It's the year 2020.
Yeah.
And we have a nation now that we have made almost perfectly replicable.
Yeah.
Right. Almost. One of the things I teach here, that God never punishes a man for sin. It is the punishment. For this cause, God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are inconvenient. God did it. God did it. God did it. God made sodomites. Out of who? Men that received not the love of the truth. Now let me tell you something. There's a couple kinds of sodomites. There's those just made up their mind they don't want the truth, and God just reaches down to that mind and he turns something there, and that person, they'll never care whether they're saved or not. It won't bother them. None of that'll bother them. They're just out there. They're just reprobate people doing what they do. And then we have other people who've just been broken by this world. And oh, if you've been broken by this world, you know one thing. Your pastor has loved you.
Yes, sir.
If you've been broken by this world, you've been hurt by the things that are gone on there, you know your pastor has loved you.
Yes, amen.
The good man of God said yesterday, it says in the Word of God, such were some of you.
That's right.
Yeah, sir.
Such were some of you. If I kicked out people in the Black Creek Baptist Church that stepped across the wrong aisle sexually, we wouldn't have many people.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have. Okay? Let me tell you something. Today, in the United States of America, stand in any Walmart and count. And when you've counted 1,000 young ladies between the ages of 18 and 24, you keep in mind that statistically 240 of them will practice lesbianism.
Yeah.
Go to New York City. Stand in a school parking lot. Currently, the statistic is all the girls, one half of them, are playing with lesbianism. One half. That's the statistic. Now, 20 years ago, it was 24% of the girls in New York City. But see that it spreads.
Yeah.
Spreads. I worked for a man over in Wellsville. His childhood friend became a sodomite. Became friends with him, he didn't know any better. And that man worked for ABC News. And I don't mean he worked sweeping floors. He used to take Barbara Walters, put her makeup on, visit with the Queen, all that kind of stuff. I mean, he had one of those big jobs.
Steve went one day to New York City to see him at his place of work. You ever see those things where they'll show a newsroom suddenly and you see hundreds of people at typewriters and computers and all that kind of stuff? And that guy bragged to Steve, one quarter of us here. He didn't use the word sodomites, but we're sodomites. One quarter. One quarter of the people in those newsrooms. They've seen to it that your children think it's okay. They've seen to it that if you're under a little bit of sexual stress, just anybody can help you.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Anybody can help you with that. And you all know what? Brought people to misery and suicide. It's brought them to the most degrading things on this earth.
Right.
It has hurt them so bad.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
And they crawl into this church and people want me to give them a heart. I don't give them a heart.
That's right.
I love those people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I love those people.
Amen.
I want to see them lift up holy hands.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
But I've never been satisfied with a profession. I hear these guys, holy, 15 get saved. And you go to their church and there's no difference in attendance.
Yeah.
There's no difference in anybody there.
Amen.
And then the next meeting, we had 22 get saved. And there's no difference in anything. You think I'm a fool?
Come on.
You think I'm a fool? That's the emperor's new clothes.
Yes.
Walking out there butt naked. Look at my clothes. We had 20 get saved. And yet your church never changes.
How about that?
Let me tell you something. When Dale Morey got saved, this church changed. When his wife got saved 6 months later, this church changed. Because God gave me the grace to leave them lost.
Yeah. Amen.
God gave me the grace to leave them lost until God saved them. And God saved them.
Yes.
God
saved
them.
Yes.
Yes. I won't have a man correcting the King James Bible in my pulpit. I've kicked out an evangelist from here because I told him, you quit bringing them up here and making them give them testimonies.
Yeah.
Quit doing them. Miss Jody right there had an evangelist bring her up. Come on, say what had she kind of stumbled through. Well, I got saved. No, she got saved about 4 years later.
Yeah,
right. Standing there making her parade and say that stuff. She got saved about 4 years later. You know what? She called me from home the Saturday after youth week. She said, Pastor, you got saved this morning. Now, I get a lot of those phone calls from people who 2 weeks later aren't sure happened. Okay? I can put up with that. I can handle that. Most preachers can't. They're ashamed what their friends will think. I don't care what your friends think. I don't care what my friends think. Okay? She said, this morning, my husband was looking for a little affection. Now, that was a euphemism. Kids were asleep. She said, I just grit my teeth. The only reason we have four children is I've just endured that man. And she said, the thought entered my heart. Why don't I trust my husband? She said, it was like lightning on God's shoulder because you've never trusted me. She got up, and I mean, if you knew the people that abandoned her in life and the abuse she's gone through and everything else, trust ripped away from her. There's people better, be better off with a millstone around their neck than to have to face God for what they've done to her.
Okay?
Said she had to go across the hall into the bathroom. She wept so hard she had to lift the toilet seat weakly. Wept out that old life. Went back into her bedroom and for the first time in her life and her marriage laid her head on her husband's lap in love.
Trust.
God changed her. Some evangelist making her stand up there and go through a little marionette dance. Oh, I'm one of your converts. God forbid.
Yes.
God forbid.
Yes.
Imagine if I told her every time she came up, oh no, Jody, do you remember when you got saved? No, she didn't get saved.
Amen.
You know why? Because she received the seed. And oh, anon with joy, it says. Anon with joy. But there are a bunch of roots in the way. And it bored over. And see, we don't care about that anyway. Oh, you prayed the prayer. Doesn't matter if there's roots there. Doesn't matter if the weeds choked it all out. Doesn't matter. We're popes. We have the authority to override the Bible. We can do that. You're saved. Don't you worry about it. And then we wonder why churches are shrinking.
Yeah.
The other ones growing are the ones that had to change their standards. You want to know something here? Right. And again, I love these men. I love what you talk about with standards.
Yes,
right. Don't you ever stop doing that. Amen. But at the same time, you know my rule is to come to church here, you need to be at least wearing your skivvies. If you don't have your skivvies on, we'll probably take you out and God will give you something. Okay? All right? That people come, they don't know any better.
That's right.
I'm a spiritual grandson of Oliver Green. The man I got saved under Oliver Green. Oliver Green one time went to Africa, talked to a friend of his, a missionary. He says, "How do you know when they get saved?" He said, "Well, they put the clothes on." They put the clothes on.
Put the clothes on.
You know one of the marks of my converts? They put the clothes on.
Yeah.
They do. And you know what?
That's
right. Well, the worst thing I can do is dress up the others. That's the worst thing I can do. If somebody had measles, do you think it's okay if you paint their face white? They don't have measles anymore?
Yeah.
Come on, brother.
Dress however you want. I want to see what you are. I want to see what you are. I want to see what your standards are. I want to see what's working in you. So my ladies, they'd come up to my wife, "Why do you and your daughter always wear dresses?" My wife would say, "It's a covenant my husband and I have. Rule in our house. Do you think I should do that?" You need to make up your own mind. You need to make up your own mind if that's what you want to do. I watch people enforce those things. They get out of that church and they change so quick. I want to see my people looking the same in Dollar General as they look here.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm looking for.
That's right.
Come in here and play Halloween and dress up. It doesn't do anything for me and it doesn't do anything for God.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right. Yes, sir.
I want to, when I run into you and happen to be, you know, walk along and realize I'm looking at your backyard and didn't realize it, I want to see you that you dress the same. If you don't, put a pretty high fence up.
Yeah.
All right? Because I'm a man.
Yeah,
that's all right? I'm a man. I'm not immune to that kind of stuff. All right? God changes them. It changes
all of us. Sure
does. We've outnumbered them. And people look, we'll go to fellowships. Everybody's a little uncomfortable because my ladies, that's just how they are. That's what they do. Right? That's what they do. One of two things God showed me. I have a church with a lot of lost people. I mean, I have a lot. I wish it wasn't that way. I get so grieved so that. You realize how grieved I was for the 4 years that you came here? 4 years. First time Brother McBay ever met him, Dale shook his head. "Hi, I'm Dale Bacon. I'm Dale Lori. I'm lost." You know, but you can't handle that kind of thing, don't come here. Okay? Don't come here. We don't need mourner's benches in churches anymore. We got a microwave.
Come on.
We don't need mourner's benches.
Yes,
we don't need people to sorrow and hang down heavy hands. We just got some quick, you know, mix it together in the pot and whoop, out it comes, out it comes, okay? Not here. You know what the difference is? Our goalposts are changed lives.
Come on.
Change lives. People with a spring of living water coming out of their belly.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
We're looking for that spring of living water to pour forth out of them, all right? We're looking for that inward joy. Let me tell you something. The born-again experience is a miracle.
Yes, sir.
It's not something you rationalize.
Right.
If you've got salvation and the Holy Ghost doesn't witness to you, you have salvation.
Right.
You ain't got slack. You ain't got nothing.
Right.
You say, "Well, how do I know?" Let me tell you, I remember being on the other side of that street. And I remember the frustration. I remember that old Oliver Green convert pointing to me, about the second time I ever sat in this church. You know what he said to me? He said, "Young man, if you knew what I thought of you, you'd leave here." That's the honest truth. Okay? It's the honest truth. People wonder why I'm a little bit bold when I come up and be able to say things. You know, for one thing, I respect them.
Yeah.
Okay? I respect them.
That's right.
But I tell them exactly what's going on.
That's right.
Hey!
Hey!
Hey. You know, I don't know respect. No,
exactly.
I respect you.
Yeah,
exactly what's going on. Okay? exactly what I think, but it's called speaking the truth in love.
Amen. Right.
Love. They need to know you love them.
That's right.
They need to know you'll go to any length for them. They need to know that. They need to understand that, okay? They need to know that. I remember then searching for that salvation. I'd been street preaching for a couple years. I had worked in a ministry next to Fort Jackson and led over 500 men in the sinner's prayer. Documented. Lost as hell. No salvation. Zero. Not one of those 500 men or women probably has any change in their life whatsoever, except they've been inoculated against Jesus.
Exactly.
Now somebody comes up and tells them you need to be saved. Oh no, I've already got it.
Okay?
Walk away.
Yeah.
One of my converts in Vermont, Miss Judy Houghton, she'd never been under, never been to a VBS. She'd never been to any place for fundamentalists whatsoever, never in her life. And after about 6 weeks of preaching, I mean, God kicked down the doors and God saved her gloriously. She used to hate me. She loved me like nobody could ever love me. And I'm just telling you, you know what she told me a couple years later? She said, I hate this soul winning that's going on. She said, my husband went through it as a child and he just can't get straight. My brother-in-law went through it as a child. He just can't get salvation straight.
All right.
Can't get it straight. Why? Because somebody inoculated them against Jesus.
Yep.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. What's inoculation? Give them a little bit of the real thing so they'll never get the real thing.
Yep.
That's it.
Hey? They'll never get the real thing. And it's been God's grace to us at this church.
Yes, thank you.
And he's shown me how to work through this.
Yes, thank you.
My wife and I had to work through it. We've shown other people how to work through it. Brother Cliff?
Thank you. Amen. Yes, thank you.
Amen. I believe exactly what he said.
Yeah.